Rat Pack, where you at?
What's going on? It's the FTN Fantasy Football Podcast. My name is Jeff Rackham. It is Friday, January 19th. Tomorrow, baby. Greatest weekend of football all year kicks off in the afternoon, late afternoon on the East Coast. Got a good evening game there, too. And then straight on through Sunday, two more games. And that's what we're going to do today. We're going to preview the divisional round. We'll talk a little betting. We'll talk a little DFS. We will talk a little one and done. I guess that's probably the main area where a lot of people are playing fantasy football in a traditional sense, not in the daily sense. So let's get right into it. Not going to beat around the bush today. I rarely do, but we'll talk Baltimore-Houston. That's 4:30 Eastern on ABC, ESPN, whatever, Disney, whatever the heck you want to call it. They're the ones who get this game. This is a really fascinating matchup because you have this Cinderella story with Houston. They not only, I don't think it was a surprise necessarily that they won. I did have Cleveland winning that game. I was wrong. Okay. But it was how they won. They destroyed the Browns. Third largest win in wild card history in that contest. 45-14. Big time win. And yet, this franchise has never made it beyond the divisional round. They've had four previous chances to advance to the conference championship, 0-4. They did win 11 games in the regular season. That was as many games as they had won in the three previous seasons combined. And hey, success, credit where credit's due to D'Amico Ryans, Bobby Slowick, but also, come on, C.J. Stroud. He was awesome last week, 274-3, perfect passer rating, youngest quarterback now to win a playoff game in postseason history. He could also pass Andrew Luck for the most passing yards from a quarterback in his rookie season, including the playoffs. He has 281 yards to go to pass Luck. That'd be pretty awesome as well. The success is here. Now, Houston will be on the road in Baltimore. They lost on the road in Baltimore in week one. That was Stroud's first game, obviously, as a pro. So I don't know how much we can take away from this game. It was a pretty big defeat. 25-9, but Stroud is, I mean, he really turned it on, obviously, since then. Really does well passing the ball downfield, although the Ravens defend that deep ball pass quite well as well. 24% completion rate allowed on balls traveling at least 20 yards in the air. Now, the Ravens, first round bye, we've seen this fairly recently. It was 2019 the last time they had a first round bye. 2019, also the breakout year for Lamar Jackson. MVP season, and in that first game, they had the bye, divisional round, they lost to the Tennessee Titans 28-12. They were the sixth team in NFL history with 14-plus wins in the regular season to lose their playoff opener. The 86 Bears, 05 Colts, 06 Chargers, 2010 Patriots, 2011 Packers also all did so. But, you know, generally speaking, the Ravens have been quite successful with John Harbaugh. 11 postseason wins since 2008. Of course, the big one being that Super Bowl that they won. But that was mostly over the first 5 years of his tenure as the coach. In his last 10 seasons, Baltimore's just 2-5. They have not reached a conference championship game since 2012, which was the year they won the Super Bowl. But, another but here, this is the best team I think he's coached. This team is phenomenal. They have a first-team All-Pro quarterback. They have the number one scoring defense. We haven't seen that since 1996 with the Packers. They also led the league in rushing yards per game. However, another one here, we haven't seen a Super Bowl-winning team lead the league in rushing yards per game since the 85 Bears. Wow. Lamar was awesome, though. 3,678 passing yards, 67.2 completion rate. Those were both career bests. He's going to win the MVP almost certainly here, but he does struggle in the postseason. 1-3 in his postseason career, 4 total touchdowns, 7 turnovers in those games. So he struggles. He is 0-2 against the spread in 2 career home playoff starts. He lost to the Chargers by 6 in 2018. And of course, he lost to the Titans, as I mentioned just a few minutes ago. The under is hit in all 4 of his playoff appearances, though Baltimore did cover against the Texans in week one. That was a 9.5-point spread, which seems kind of aggressive, but guess what? That's where it is for this one, too. The Texans have played well this season as underdogs, 6-1 against the spread. So even if they don't win outright, I mean, the spread, as I said, it's pretty big. I mean, you're talking about a 9.5-point spread on most books. Let me just double-check right now. It might be different when you're listening, but no, it's 9.5. It's been pretty stable at 9.5 for a while here. As far as the projected score, I have a 25.8 to 17.4. I am picking Baltimore to win. Here's some player props to think about, or just, you know, bets in general. I wouldn't go too overboard in just playing these, by the way. If you're listening to this, don't just play these. You gotta play more. But the thought process, I think, is key here. So I'm taking over 77.5 receiving yards, -115 on DraftKings for Nico Collins. I mean, 24 targets over his last three games. He has topped this line in each of those games, and it is 3 yards lower than what it is on FanDuel. So that's something I'll look at sometimes too. Going over on 227.5 passing yards for Lamar on FanDuel. It's a yard higher, I believe, on DraftKings. I just mentioned the passing yardage numbers. I do think he's going to have to throw a little bit here, because the nice thing about Houston is they're not going to just roll over. Like, you know, they're not going to be like the Philadelphia Eagles last week and just roll over in this one. They're going to be out there and try and punch Baltimore in the mouth, and that means that Lamar's going to have to really be good in both phases, both as a passer and as a runner. Mark Andrews will almost certainly not be activated for this one. So Isaiah Likely, +145 on an anytime touchdown. He scored in four of his last five games with five touchdowns over that span. He is the go-to guy in the passing game. As far as one-and-dones are concerned, if you didn't use Houston last week, this would be the week to potentially do so, though I'm not heavy on Stroud. I'll talk about one-and-done quarterback, like my preferred quarterbacks, in a bit, but he's the bottom of quarterback rankings for me this week, so I would probably fade him, but I'm definitely going to use Nico Collins. I might consider Devin Singletary as well as one-and-done options. Now, of course, if you think Baltimore's going to lose, this is a much more important week to really nail your winners and losers and get the most bang for your buck out of teams that you think are going to lose. Much more important than doing so last week. You know, if you can advance to the conference championship round and really have most of the key players at your disposal, you're going to set yourself up for success for those final 2 weeks where you can make up ground on teams. They may have a lead on you now, but if they don't have anybody available or most of the guys not available to them, the conference championships and Super Bowl rounds, they're going to be up against it. So anyway, showdown. Lamar is really expensive, but rightfully so. I'm going to use him, but I'm also going to use Stroud. I'm going to use Nico Collins as my, and this is for captains. And I will go, now I'm going to be looking at Isaiah Likely. You know, with no Andrews here, Likely is interesting at 10,800. Maybe Gus, but I'm not too in on that one. Maybe Zay. I might make a Zay lineup if I'm building 20 lineups. As far as saving us some dough, I think we could be looking at Charlie Kohler at 900. Possibly, you know, super saver, Daria Gumbawale or Andrew Beck. They basically just have to touch the ball one time to reach value. Otherwise, Xavier Hutchinson is in play. He's 1,800. Maybe Brevin Jordan at 2,800 as well in play. All right, Green Bay, San Francisco. This is the most common postseason matchup in the history of the league. This will be the 10th time these teams have faced each other in the NFL postseason. San Francisco has the series lead 5-4, but it was 1-4 before they've won the last four meetings in the postseason. We also have two coaches who know each other well. They worked together for a long period of time. Kyle Shanahan and Matt LaFleur were in Houston together in 08 and 09, Washington from 2010 to 2013, and Atlanta from 2015 to 2016. So they know each other. The Packers come into this one hot. They not only beat the Cowboys on the road last week, they destroyed them. They absolutely destroyed them. First time a 7 seed is won since the postseason expanded in 2020. They're 7-2 over their last 9, and a lot of that is Jordan Love. Jordan Love has been spectacular over that span. 21 passing touchdowns, one interception during those nine games. He was near perfect last week against the Cowboys. Huge part of the win. It wasn't just him. I'll talk about Aaron Jones in a minute. But he has been spectacular. Can that continue here against a very tough San Francisco defense? I don't want to rule it out. Now, speaking to Aaron Jones, 118 yards, three rushing touchdowns last week. He's been over 100 rushing yards in four straight games. That ties the franchise record, by the way, with Amon Green, who did it in 2003. Old school fantasy football players will remember Amon and his prowess quite well. Now, the question is whether or not A.J. Dillon plays. So where do we currently stand with the Packers running back? Now, obviously, he's missed time here, and not so coincidentally, that has been the time period where Aaron Jones has blown up. So right now, with A.J. Dillon, after the Thursday practice reports, so we have an entire week of practice reports, he did go limited on Thursday. He's currently listed as questionable. Not a lock to play. If he doesn't play, expect a lot of Aaron Jones yet again this week. Moving to the other side, of course, this is San Francisco's 10th time as the number one seed. They've won the Super Bowl in four of the nine previous seasons with the number one seed. They're also looking to advance to the conference championship for the third straight season. So an impressive run with Kyle Shanahan as the helmsman. They have lost in both of those contests, but it's still impressive. It's also impressive they have a 4,000-yard passer and four players with over 1,000 scrimmage yards. It's the first time that's been accomplished since the 04 Colts. And, of course, that 4,000-yard passer, Brock Purdy. He set the franchise record for passing yards. He set the all-time NFL record for yards per attempt. And he's the first Pro Bowl quarterback for the 49ers since 2002. He's also the only quarterback of the eight starters this week who was not drafted in the first round. Makes a difference, but for Purdy, he is the real deal. So is Christian McCaffrey. I mean, he's been incredible. We know that. He's amazing. We're fantasy people. We know that. But history was made. He is the first 49ers running back since Joe Perry. This was before he was the Aerosmith guitarist. He was not. In 1953, 1954 to win the rushing title. So we have history there, but we also have history working against Christian McCaffrey. We have not seen a running back win the rushing title and the Super Bowl in the same season since 1998 when Terrell Davis did it. Green Bay, heavy underdog last week. They won. Now, only five teams since the NFL merger have won two games in a postseason as more than a touchdown underdog, like 7 points or greater. So it's not common, but it has happened. Last team to do so was the 2012 Ravens. Now, of course, LaFleur, his teams do play well as underdogs. He's 17-12 straight up as a dog. He's the only coach in NFL history with a winning record as an underdog with at least 20 games as an underdog. That's incredible. But on the other side, also incredible, Kyle Shanahan has not lost a home playoff game. He's also 7-2 against the spread as the 49ers coach. San Francisco, 27.8 to 21.5 in projections. I'm going with projections. I love chaos, but I just think that San Francisco is just a bit too much here for Green Bay. Have them winning. Christian McCaffrey. So his current line is 89.5 in terms of rushing yards. Now, minus 114 on the over, fine. That's okay. But why don't we squeeze that orange a little bit more, get a little bit more juice out of that fruit? 100-plus rushing yards as an alternate line is plus 124 on FanDuel. I like that. He has topped 100 yards on the ground in four of his last six games. Figures to see a heavy workload, obviously. Romeo Doubs, his line is 36.5 receiving yards. That's just too low on FanDuel right now. He had 151 against the Cowboys. And I know San Francisco is a very good defense, but so is the Cowboys. And I don't think this line is taking that into account. So we're hitting the over there. Jordan Love also, we're going to ride this wave. 246.5 is his passing yards line, taking the over there, given how he's performed. And, he has topped this in seven of his last nine games. For DFS purposes, McCaffrey's very chalky, but he's also 18,300. Jordan Love, much cheaper at 13,800, 15 for Brock Purdy. Those guys are both in play. But I think my favorite captain play, honestly, on this slate is George Kittle at 8,700. That's why. It's not because I love him the most. It's because that pricing allows me to jam a lot more into my lineups than I would with McCaffrey, Love, or Purdy as the captain. I also would be looking at Aaron Jones. I don't think I'm going Ayuk or Debo here. So Aaron Jones would be a possibility. But I really like that Kittle flexibility. There are some decent super savers in this one. You have Kyle Juszczyk at 1,000, so you could potentially go after him. Jordan Mason is cheap, though. I mean, you run the risk of some of these guys, whenever you play guys like that, just them not touching the football. But I'd be looking at him, and if A.J. Dillon doesn't go, then Emmanuel Wilson will be an interesting super saver. Again, if you don't have the Packers winning here, then sure, I'm going to use Aaron Jones if I didn't already use him last week. No, I did. But I would use him. I would potentially use Romeo Doubs and or Jaden Reed, not going as far as Dontavian Wicks. I am not using Jordan Love here because I have him and Stroud as the two lowest ranked guys at quarterback on this slate. I'll tell you who I would likely be considering in one and done in a bit. All right, on to Tampa and Detroit. I mean, the Bucs coming off a big win last week. Baker Mayfield has had a heck of a season. Now, these two teams did face each other in the regular season. That was in week 6. The Lions won 20-6 on the road. And I think it's fair to say that was Mayfield's worst performance of the season. 206, no touchdowns, one interception. Only game where he had more interceptions than touchdowns on the season. So that's a big factor to consider here. We also have Chris Godwin a little banged up, so I don't have a Friday practice report for this game as I'm recording this, but keep an eye on it. Godwin went DNP limited, so in theory on track to play here, but he obviously needs to at least be limited today for us to have confidence. Detroit, they won their first postseason game since 1991. This is the first time in franchise history they will host more than one game, you know, be the home team more than one game in the same postseason. That's wild. It's also wild that they're favored by 6.5 points, which is the most the team has ever been favored by in the postseason. Now, Jared Goff, I mean, say what you will about him, but he is a starting caliber quarterback who has done a nice job in Detroit. And he also did something historic. He broke a 10-plus year playoff drought for the Lions, obviously, playoff win drought, I should say, for the Lions last week. He also did that for the Rams. He's the first quarterback in NFL history to do it. The Rams won in 2018. It was the first time they had won a playoff game since 2004, which is pretty wild. He was a big factor in that win over the Bucs back in week 6, 353 passing yards, 2 scores, no interceptions. The Lions are heavily favored, but I don't think this is a gimme putt. Tampa is hot. They have a quarterback who is hot. He's also covered in all three of his career postseason games. The Bucs 4-0 straight up in their last 4 games as an underdog. As much as I want to, I can't pick them. I have this 26.1 to 21.5, and I am picking Detroit. I'm going to go over, though, on Mike Evans' receiving yards. He gets a fantastic matchup against Cameron Sutton, allowing 15.3 yards per catch. And I do expect Sutton, regardless of Godwin's status, to shadow Evans. If you want to toss an anytime touchdown in for Evans, that's also a viable play. It's plus 100 on DraftKings right now. Amon-Ra, I'm going to go to the alternate line for him because, like McCaffrey, we only have, you know, we only have a handful of yards to get to top the 100 threshold. I believe, yeah, it's 91.5 for Amon-Ra's regular receiving yards prop. So let's go to 100 plus on the alternate line. It's plus 116 on FanDuel. He's topped it. He topped it 9 times in the regular season. He topped it last week. He should have no problem getting his hands on the football. Christian Eisen, the slot corner for the Bucs, allowed an 80% catch rate in the regular season. And I do have a fun one. Now, last week I hit on Chris Godwin. I think it was plus 240 on the anytime touchdown. I'm not going after Godwin here. I'm going after Jameson Williams. It's plus 280 on DraftKings right now. Not a safe play, obviously, but I'm putting the pieces together. Jamel Dean, Carlton Davis each allowed 5 receiving touchdowns in the regular season, so 10 combined between the two of them. Davis allowed 15.2 yards per catch. If there's a game where Williams gets loose for a deep one, it's this one. I think he's interesting in DFS as a super saver, by the way. His price point is pretty solid. But if we're going to pay up in this contest, first and foremost, obviously Amon-Ra and the two quarterbacks. Evans has some appeal, but how about Rashad White? This would be a contrarian play, but based on his price point, I really like him. He is $10,080, which is significantly cheaper than the rest of the captain candidates. If the game goes sideways and it's a game that we don't expect, because we don't expect the run game to work particularly well against that Detroit defense, or at least I don't. If it goes sideways and is a game that we don't expect, you win all the money. So I'm going to have a couple lineups with Rashad White, but mainly I'll stick to Amon-Ra, who will be very chalk here, Baker, and Goff, with a little bit of Mike Evans. In terms of super savers, like I mentioned, Jameson Williams is in play, though not crazy cheap. But the beauty is if you go with Rashad White, Jameson Williams at 4,200 isn't terrible. Khalif Raymond, keep an eye on his status. If he plays, he's viable. David Moore is viable at 2,800. I also like Trey Palmer. He's another one, not quite a super saver, but enough if you're going the right direction at captain to jam into lineups at 4,400. This is a game where, you know, I do have Baker Mayfield ahead of Love and Stroud, so he could possibly be a one-and-done option. If you're not going that route, certainly using Rashad White, certainly using Mike Evans, maybe using Kate Otten. I think between Kate Otten and Dalton Schultz, those are probably your two best chances of getting good lines out of teams or players on teams who are likely to lose. All right, let's round it out with Kansas City and Buffalo. Obviously, Kansas City is in the midst of a dynasty. They could reach their sixth straight conference championship game. It's only happened with 6-plus once before in NFL history. The Patriots did it from 2011 to 2018. I realize that's more than six. So that's why I said 6-plus. We had Brady Manning. Now we have Mahomes Allen. These two have met six times already in the course of their NFL career, a couple times in the playoffs, of course. The most recent playoff meeting was one of the greatest playoff games in NFL history. The 2021 divisional round game went to overtime. The Chiefs beat the Bills 42-36. Gabe Davis in that game had an Al Bundy-like four receiving touchdowns in a single football game. We don't know if Davis is going to play in this one, but that's beside the point. Kansas City also beat Buffalo in the 2020 AFC Championship game to go to the Super Bowl. Mahomes has been a big part of all of this success, and I'll talk more about Allen in a moment. But Mahomes, 16th career playoff start, first road game. Other than like Super Bowl, and those are neutral sites, first true road game. That's wild. He's also coming off of a disappointing regular season, 14 interceptions, 261.4 passing yards per game is a career low, 7.0 passing yards per attempt is a career low. In that game they played back in week 14 against the Bills, the Chiefs did lose 2017, but that was the Kadarius Toney offsides game, so yikes. Anyway, we're rolling into this one with Pacheco, with Rice, with Kelsey. On the Buffalo side, Allen, 44 combined rushing and passing scores on the regular season. He is the first in league history to top 40 combined touchdowns in four straight seasons. He's incredible. He's a dynamic runner. He, you know, it's very much Brady and Manning. This is awesome. Mahomes hasn't played a road playoff game in his career, but he has been successful as an underdog on the road. Eight games as a road underdog. He's won six of them and has gone 7-0-1 against the spread. Chiefs are also 8-4 against the spread over their last 12 playoff games. The Bills, meanwhile, 1-4 against the spread in their last five divisional round appearances, 1-7 against the spread in their last eight primetime games. They're currently 2.5-point favorites. My projections, though, have this 23.2 to 23.2. In other words, tied. And I have Kansas City as my game pick. Giddy up. Stephon Diggs is struggling mightily. Failed to top 100 receiving yards in 12 straight games. I am under 62.5 receiving yards, minus 115 on DraftKings. I also think he's going to see L'Jarius Sneed in shadow coverage. That's not good. Isaiah Pacheco has been heavily used down the stretch. His line right now, 14.5 rushing attempts. Now, it is minus 135 on DraftKings, but I'm willing to take the juice there at minus 135. That's fine. I'll play it. He's topped this line in six of his last seven games. Josh Allen, over 43.5 rushing yards, minus 114 on FanDuel. We know how good he is as a runner. He's topped this in each of his last three games. He's also averaging 53.5 rushing yards per game in his career against the Chiefs. Good stuff there. One and done wise, I have some thoughts. Imagine that. This game is too close to call to make a definitive for me. Maybe for you, you're like, yeah, I have the Bills winning handily, or I have the Chiefs winning or whatever, and you're very confident. I'm not. I also know, especially if it's Buffalo, but even Kansas City, there's a lot of firepower here for one and done for the next round, and I don't think we can rule out either of these teams advancing to the Super Bowl. I know the Chiefs haven't been as good as they were in the past, but this team knows how to win in the postseason. So I think there is some merit to fading this game outright. Now, granted, you wouldn't get the points from whoever loses in this game. You know, you wouldn't get the points like if you picked Buffalo to win and they do end up winning. You don't get Mahomes points. But you save players from either side for the next round. And there is something to be said about that, because there's only going to be four teams left next week. You're going to guarantee the players from one of those four teams. Guaranteed. All of them. So that's the consideration you need to make. Now, if you have a stronger take, then go push all in on the team that you think is going to lose this one in terms of your one-and-done contest. In terms of your DFS contests for your showdown slate, obviously Mahomes and Allen. Allen is crazy expensive. He's $18,300. Mahomes is cheaper, $15,900 on Mahomes. So I'm going to use those guys. I will have a little bit of James Cook at $12,300, possibly a Pacheco lineup or two, or a Rashee Rice. But the player I'm probably going to have the most of is Travis Kelce. Not because I love Travis Kelce. It's a price point thing. $11,700 for Travis Kelce allows a lot of flexibility. We also have super saver options in Richie James. We have Mecole Hardman, who's really cheap. Trent Sherfield is cheap yet again. There are a lot of options in this one. So you got some flexibility, some wiggle room. But Kelce, if you use him, you may not even need that much wiggle room because he's so cheaply priced. Okay. That's everything there. If you want the betting article, it is live over at ftnfantasy.com, including all the picks I just mentioned here, betting breakdown. You get it all there. You get so much more at ftnfantasy.com as well. So go check that out. Remember, you can follow along with me on Twitter at Jeff Ratcliffe and on Instagram at Jeff Ratcliffe. Next week, we'll do the same thing. We'll do two podcasts. I'll do a sort of a postmortem looking back at the four teams who lost, along with rankings for the conference championship round, and then we'll do the Friday preview like usual. All right, so I will catch you on the flip side. Enjoy the best weekend of football all year. I'm Jeff Ratcliffe, and I'm out.